Track 11, Sowing the Seeds for Nature's Recovery. As the season slowly changes, our columnist looks forward to Norfolk Wildlife Trust's 100th anniversary.
A strange, shape-shifting month, September. Its first half looks back, a little longingly, to summer, to warmth and endless light. Its second half, depending on the year, looks to autumn and to winter, to cold and coming darkness. It is a fat month, though, and generous. September's woods and hedges are full of fruits and seeds, food for a million bird and mammal mouths, energy to see them through the bitter trials of winter. Those seeds that hungry vole and pigeon mouths neglect may find September's damp and nurturing soil, may take their place as seedlings in the hedgerow flow of genes and life. September, for all its darkening days, its gathering geese and cold, looks hopefully to the future too. Everywhere in September there is ivy, coming into heady-scented bloom. And wherever there is flowering ivy, there are insects, fattening themselves for hibernation. Most obvious among them are red admirals. Like so many common British animals and plants, mallards, blue tits, rosebay, willow herb and jays, if you saw red admirals illustrated in a book, and you had never seen one in real life, you would ask which glorious tropical wilderness you had to visit to witness such a being. The answer is September Norfolk hedges, where ivy is in bloom. Among these lustrous butterflies are many other insects. Queen wasps are here, gorging on ivy pollen and on nectar too, preparing for winter months of slumber and for the energetic toil of founding next spring's colonies. Next to them, smaller and more fidgety, are marmalade hoverflies. In contrast to the wasps, these hoverflies have no firepower. Their black and orange stripes, aposematic coloration in the jargon, are a fib. Defenseless, they want potential predators to think, like wasps, they pack a chemical punch. This more biological jargon is Batesian mimicry, in which a harmless organism sneakily signals it is dangerous when it is not. Unlike the wasps beside them, these adult hoverflies may be refueling prior to southbound migration. For all these species, resident or migrant, and many more, September is a month of laying in stores, of preparation, of looking to the future. In some ways, at Norfolk Wildlife Trust, we are like September, always looking to the past but striving also for the future. The past matters enormously because we have lost, destroyed, so much of Britain's wildlife and the wild habitat. We need to know what we have lost so we can work to bring it back. Happily, in Norfolk, we have a bounteous store of information from the past. In the 1600s, physician Sir Thomas Brown shared in letters his observations of the county's wildlife. From 1736 until his death in 1797, Robert Marsham noted the dates each year on which he first observed numerous natural phenomena in Norfolk. In the mid-1800s, Henry Stevenson published the first three-volume summary of the birds of Norfolk. Michael Sego produced an update in 1967, while Moss Taylor, Michael Sego and others compiled another account in 2000. Since 1869, Norfolk and Norwich Naturalist Society has been documenting and disseminating information on all the county's wildlife. In 1926, one of its devoted officers, Dr. Sidney Long, led the foundation of the Norfolk Naturalist Trust. First of all, the County Wildlife Trust, meaning next year in 2026, now known as Norfolk Wildlife Trust, we turn 100. We know a vast amount about Norfolk's natural treasures and their decline. Despite a century of hard work and of undisputed NWT achievements, despite the thousands of acres we have purchased, managed and restored for wildlife and for people, the wider countryside and our climate are incomparably more hostile to wildlife than when Sir Thomas Brown made his observations in the 1600s. And the pace of destruction and loss has only intensified since Norfolk Wildlife Trust was founded early in the 20th century. As we enter our centenary year, like September's wasps and hoverflies, we are planning for the future. In spite of all the losses and the challenges, our future is ambitious and it is full of hope for nature. Just weeks ago, we shared the news that, thanks to generous legacies and income from other sources, we have purchased 100 additional acres to the north of NWT's Foxley Wood. Foxley Wood is very old. It first appears in the written record in the Domesday Book in 1086, and there's nothing to suggest there was not woodland here millennia before. But it is also a success story for NWT and for nature. When we purchased Foxley Wood in the late 1980s and early 1990s, most of it had been planted with non-native conifers in a misguided effort to turn a profit from what was seen as unproductive land. Over many years, our wardens and volunteers removed thousands of conifers, allowing light to flood the woodland floor, allowing the seeds of trees and flowers to germinate and repopulate this ancient place. Amazingly, every woodland wildflower mentioned in a diary by the 18th century vicar of nearby Ling has been rediscovered in Foxley Wood since its restoration. We can now let the precious seed bank of the wood recolonize the adjacent fields we have purchased, reclaiming land from which wild species have for centuries been banished. Our management will help lock carbon in the soil, restore natural water flow and drainage, and allow more people to explore the wood and watch its wildlife flourish. This is our future, a future in which we tip the balance back to nature, in which we connect wild places with one another and connect you, Norfolk people, with your natural heritage. September may seem sad at times. Often it ends in misty drabness. But in September's bounty are the seeds of future blooming. As we approach our 100th year, we are ambitious to sow the seeds of nature's recovery everywhere in Norfolk, for wildlife, of course, for future generations, and for you.